Welcome to the Spiritual Awakening Teleclass, class number two. I'm Nanise, and it is an absolute pleasure to be your guide on this journey. Awakening is very much like a birthing process. You're not just the baby being born, though. You're also the mother giving birth and the father standing in the corner or cutting the cord. I'm your midwife in this process, supporting you, telling you when to push and, when to let go. I'll hold your hand and I'll ease your fears. But in the end, it is you who must birth yourself. And you are fully equipped to do so. Otherwise, it would not be happening now. I'm reminded of one of my favorite stories about the caterpillar turning into the butterfly, such a beautiful symbol for life and truly a beautiful symbol for awakening. The story goes like this. One day, a man came upon the cocoon where a caterpillar was metamorphosizing into a butterfly. And the man was fascinated by the process, and he watched and he watched and he watched. And it appeared to him that this caterpillar that was turning into a butterfly and almost through the whole process was struggling. And it was struggling to get out. And this man watched hour after hour and probably day after day. And finally, he couldn't take it anymore. He had to help this butterfly because he was a kind and loving person. And so he took a tiny little scissors and he very carefully cut away what was entrapping that butterfly. And he set the butterfly free. And that sounds like a beautiful story. Except there was one problem. And that is, in this man's haste, he did not realize that the butterfly actually needed the struggle in order not just to emerge from the cocoon, but in order to grow strong enough for its wings to support it so that it could fly. And because that butterfly didn't have that struggle at the end of its journey, it was never able to fly. We are not meant to be in pain or suffering. That is not the intention of life. And having said that, sometimes when we move from one space or one stage to another, there is a struggle. And in that struggle, we are actually getting stronger and stronger and stronger until one day we actually can fly. If there's one thing that we could possibly do that would ease that struggle, it would be to let go of resistance. I know that's not an easy thing to do. And my hope is that over the next several weeks that we're together, that I can help in that process and show you how to let go and why to let go and, what you're letting go to and why. I'm very excited about the class that we have tonight. It was a rather interesting journey in preparing our exploration this evening because there's just so much I want to share with you. There's just so much that I want to provide. And in doing so, I asked to be guided every step of the way. In fact, even as we begin our time here together tonight, the first thing that I always do is I offer a prayer. And this is a prayer that I say every single morning. And it goes like this. Divine Creator, allow me to get out of the way so that you may shine through me. May my words be your words. May my thoughts be your thoughts. May my heart be your heart. So be it. There are many forms of awakening, and I think that this is what gets us so confused. We all think that it's just one type of awakening, and the person closest to you can be going through an awakening, but it's a completely different type of awakening. So the result is we're each in our own little worlds having our own personal awakenings and not finding that place of connection. I thought that it would be very useful if I could share a broad spectrum of what these different types of awakening are. There is an awakening where you actually master your thoughts. You awaken your mind and you master your mind. There's the physical awakening, which might be an experience of Kundalini rising. There's emotional awakening where you master your emotions. There's a soul awakening where you start to remember that you've lived beyond this lifetime, that you have past lives and maybe future lives as well. There's what I call the global awakening. And the global awakening is awakening to the truth about our present circumstance that we're experiencing on this world now and our past hidden history. And then there's the heart awakening. And this is what we are going to speak about in just a little bit. There's also an awakening where we actually see unseen energies. This can be a very fun type of awakening. We see angels, guides, maybe the deceased, auras, anything's possible. There's also an awakening where we wake up and remember that we are one with all. This is the experience of non-duality, or I am. There's also the awakening where we wake up and remember that we are God, which may or may not be part of the oneness awakening. You see, there's many parts to this process. And then there's awakening to the dream. And when we wake up to the dream and we remember that we are the dreamer, we suddenly have a completely different perspective of what life is and how to live it. So when we talk about awakening, what are we talking about? Which type of awakening are we speaking about? Well, full awakening encompasses all of these types of awakening. And sometimes what happens is we wake up in one way, but not in another. For example, there's an awakening on one level, but not one other or others. And this is when people have great challenges. If your body awakens through, say, Kundalini, but your mind and emotions are still in, well, unevolved states, there can be a great deal of emotional pain and even confusion. It's your job to determine how you are awakening and what parts of you are still asleep. And in knowing this, you can then focus on helping those sleepy aspects of yourself awaken. I want to add that awakening doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to see angels or have your Kundalini rise. Those are really more like the fun part of the drip of the journey. Full awakening, however, does mean that you master your mind and your emotions and you take full responsibility for the dream that you are, in fact, dreaming yourself. And this is how I am honored to guide you. Let us start by, if you're in a safe place, close your eyes and imagine way, way, way up in the cosmos that there's a beautiful, bright star. And this star is filled with heavenly light and love. It is the perfect and most brilliant star in all the universe, and it has your name on it. And this means that as you place your awareness on this star comes down through the cosmos, down through our atmosphere, down to where you are. And if you are really insightful, you might see it hovering just before your heart. And you might feel the beautiful, positive, powerful energy that emanates from your star. And when you're ready, imagine that you can open up your heart and invite your star inside your heart. That's right. And as you do, the energy that is the star is released in your heart and it flows throughout the cells of your heart, completely saturating your heart and oversaturating your heart so that this beautiful energy of love and light from your star can flow through your entire body from head to toe. And breathe. And breathe. Life is spiritual. Every bit, every moment of life is spiritual. It's so interesting to think that we have to be spiritual or become spiritual, because there's nothing else that you can be. There's nothing else that you can experience. Everything around you is spiritual. And not just like the beautiful things like the flowers and the grass and the trees, but the ugly things too. Every bit of it is spiritual. The worst parts of this planet are spiritual, because they all come from the same source. Every single being, every single molecule, everything comes from the same source. And knowing this allows you to let go and to be in the flow of life and not try so hard to be spiritual. That's who you really are. That's who you really are. So if life is spiritual and we can wake up and not just, you know, sit on a rock and meditate and be peaceful, but we can be awakened and we can be conscious creators of our lives, well then, how do we do that? How do you become a conscious creator of your life? The first thing to consider is, well, how is reality created? Now, before I go any further, I want to mention that these words are so small. All I can do, all I can hope for, is possibly find pointers towards the truth, and that you can embark on your own journey to find the answers. So, allow the words to take you where you want to go, but the words are just pointers. How is reality created? Well, I have my very special way of explaining this. Much of what we call reality is made up of what I call templates, our personalities, who we come in as, even archetypes that we partake in, careers, all these things are different types of templates and programs. Virtually everything on this planet, there's some type of invisible program running it, some invisible program on the quantum level. And those programs and templates even hold you and me in place. Even our bodies are held in place. How do you think those atoms stay connected when they're just kind of floating around in space? Something has to hold them together. Well, this all happens in the quantum field, or the field. We influence the quantum field every day by our thoughts, our emotions, and our beliefs. The quantum field is a field of energy, and you might even say vibration. The physical is a manifestation of the quantum. So whatever happens in the physical reality that we call life first happens in the quantum field. Many of us try to make changes by trying to change reality, the thing we call our lives, and we're unsuccessful because we haven't changed those same things in the field. If you can understand how to influence the field, then you have all the power you need to create the life that you most desire. Now remember, as we started talking about in our last class, everything is a reflection of you. Look around. Everything that you experience is experienced through your personal consciousness. Try to find something that's not experience through your consciousness. It's impossible. This will give you a clue that everything is a reflection and a projection of you. And so if you want to change the outside world, reality, life, first, you need to change the inside so that you can directly influence that field. Now, remember that all things are interconnected and interdependent and essentially one or unified. We are constantly talking to everything, whether we realize it or not. This is happening. I'm reminded of a story many, many years ago when my mom was still alive. She had gotten her first computer and printer. And she typed up a letter, and she printed it out, and she got the letter from the printer, and she took a pen, and she started, you know, marking things, erasing things, basically editing that letter that she had just printed out. And she made all her changes on the piece of paper, and then she went back to the computer, and she printed it out again. And when she got the same letter without the edits, she was very upset. She said, I made all these corrections. Why didn't my letter have these corrections? What my mom didn't understand at that time was that because she did not make the corrections on the computer, anything that she printed out would not have those changes. And that seems pretty silly. And we laughed at my mom for quite a while after that. And eventually she laughed at herself as well. But really, when we try to change reality without first changing the quantum field by changing our inner world, we're doing the same thing as my mom did. It's just as silly. In order to affect the field, we need to influence the field. So, how do we do that? Well, we are constantly speaking to the field through our thoughts, and particularly our beliefs. And remember that beliefs are simply thoughts that we believe. Beliefs are anything that we regard as true. We believe it. If we have a thought and we don't believe it, it's not a belief. If we have a thought and we believe it, now it's a belief. The beliefs that influence our lives the most are beliefs that, or rather thoughts that we think over and over and over again. And many of them we developed as children. Now, the thing is, everything that happens in our life, we interpret through our belief system. And often these interpretations are made through a disempowering belief system. And it takes us away from what we want. We have beliefs about everything. We have beliefs about our bodies, we have beliefs about our past, we have beliefs about our future, we have beliefs about our partners, our dogs, our houses, our jobs, everything we have beliefs about. And these beliefs create a filter for how we see the world, but also influence the field in such a way that we get back whatever we believe in. Because remember, that field, which you may also call divine creator, universe, God, whatever works for you, is constantly listening to everything, not just what you say, but what you think. You can't hide. It knows you, knows your thoughts, knows your desires. So where do these beliefs come from? Well, yes, from the time we are born, we are creating beliefs about life. Is life safe? Is it not safe? Am I loved? Am I lovable? Am I worthy? Am I not worthy? And all of this goes on mostly before we're five. By the time we're 5 years old, there's much studies that conclude that our personalities are already in place. We've created a template of our personality. But I don't know about you, but when I was 2, 3, 4, and even 5 years old, I was not able to make good decisions about life. And therefore, the beliefs that we created before 5 years old may not really serve us later in life. The good news is it's never too late to change them. So beliefs, yes, they come from society and parents and school and all that. Beliefs also come because our soul chooses beliefs in order to heal them. So if we've gone through past lifetimes and we've created some maybe emotional wounds, disempowering beliefs, and we want to heal them, the only way to heal them is to experience them. And so let's say you had a belief about victimhood and you're ready to heal it in this lifetime. That means that when you're born with a program that will attract and create certain situations in your life so that you can experience being a victim in just the right way that your physical and spiritual being will get it. What I mean by get it is understand it, even have a reaction to it, so that at some point in your life you can recognize this disempowering belief and you can shift it. You can be free of it, and that's how we heal. And all emotional wounds are disempowering beliefs, every single one of them. The thing about beliefs is that we think we're our beliefs, that we don't separate ourselves from our beliefs. So it's like if I have a belief about worth, I believe that I'm unworthy. But we're not our beliefs, and that's the point. But not only that, no beliefs are true. If beliefs were true, if every belief was true, let's say it this way, then wouldn't we all have the same beliefs? And we obviously don't. We all have different beliefs. And if you sit down and you really think about it, you would also see that no beliefs are true. We only make them true because, well, we believe them. That's what makes them true. If you've ever been in a hypnotist show or been in the audience of a hypnotist show, and the hypnotist makes that suggestion that the people on stage, or maybe it's you, quack like a duck or bark like a dog, or you're really hot and you end up taking half your clothes off on stage. Well, why is that? It's because your subconscious mind really believes those things are true in that time period. Placebo. There have been countless studies that show that giving somebody a placebo can work just as well as actually giving them the remedy. Well, why is that? It's because we believe that that remedy can heal us. Beliefs are wonderful. Don't get me wrong. We need beliefs to create our lives, to create the stories of our lives. But before we are conscious, many of our beliefs actually keep us asleep. When we're awake, we can choose beliefs to create our lives. Beliefs can be creation tools, but before we're awake, many of our beliefs actually keep us asleep. And once we have a belief, we seek proof that that belief is true, and so that belief deepens. It reinforces the belief, and it reinforces our identity around the belief, and we repeat patterns over and over again. Remember the movie Groundhog Day? Well, really, what was going on is that the main character in Groundhog Day had some really strong beliefs about life and other people. And so life kept repeating the same day over and over again to show him what these beliefs were. And the only way that he could get out of this Groundhog Day, repeating the same day over and over again, is by changing his beliefs. And so, if you've ever experienced your own personal Groundhog Day, it is because life is showing you that you have some pretty ingrained beliefs that are ready to be addressed and released. Beliefs allow us to create reality in two different ways. The first way is that our actions are always based on our beliefs. If we believe that we can do something, we do it. And we can do it. If we don't believe we can do something, it stops us. And if we try, we probably can't do it. Have you ever said, "I knew this would happen"? Yeah, we all have. Well, that's because you had a belief about it and you made your belief true through believing your beliefs. If your beliefs do not support the dreams that you have in life, those dreams will not come true. You will not be able to manifest. Your inner beliefs must align with your dreams. The second way in which we influence reality and affect that feel is through the energy that we give out through our beliefs. So our beliefs, again, speak directly to that field. The old expression, you'll see it when you believe it. Well, that's exactly right. So when we believe something, we send that message to the field, to the universe, and the universe says yes and reflects that back on us. Life is always a direct or complementary reflection of our beliefs. Beliefs speak directly to the field, and life mirrors those beliefs. And the good and bad news is that we're always right, because life makes us right. If you believe something, life will demonstrate to you what you believe. If you're really lucky and your spirit or soul is ready to break through, then you'll be wrong, because that is the greatest opportunity, because life is showing you where your beliefs are not working. Life is merely a symbol of our beliefs. If you want to change your life, you have to change your beliefs. The problem is most beliefs are unconscious. But the very loving life that we have, aka universe, divine creator, makes them conscious by provoking them so we can heal them. So if you have a disempowering belief that says that you're powerless, life will show you that expression of powerlessness, not to punish you, not because of karma or anything like that, but to give you the opportunity to make a different choice in your life, to give you the opportunity to say no to that disempowering belief and to embrace your intrinsic power. And that is the point. That is the point. There are four disempowering beliefs: loss, victimhood, unworthiness, and powerlessness. Negative, disempowering, false beliefs fall into one or more of these four categories. And so you may have a list of disempowering beliefs, but if you were to categorize them, you would find out that they come in one of these four categories: loss, victimhood, worthiness, and powerlessness. If you have reoccurring stories or situations or that Groundhog Day, it indicates that you have disempowering beliefs running the show. We've heard the expression quantum jump. Well, what is a quantum jump? Well, we know it as being able to have an immense shift or an immense change from one experience to another. But what really happens when we have a quantum jump is that we have let go of the beliefs that have kept a particular story in place. So a quantum jump is a change in reality without the attached story, going from one reality to another without a connective story, a story that says you get to there from here. So if you could let go of your beliefs, you would be able to empower yourself to create anything. And let me be clear about that. It's not that you let go of all your beliefs to create. It's that you let go of your disempowering beliefs. Did you know that virtually every emotional wound is intertwined with issues of worthiness? In fact, feelings of unworthiness keep us from creating the lives we most desire. In order to heal our emotional wounds and consciously create, we must conquer our fears of unworthiness. But in order to do this, we must first understand why we are programmed to feel unworthy. Like most subconscious programs, the worthiness program is often passed down unknowingly from our parents, teachers, caretakers. But even on the rare chance that you did not inherit this program, by the time you are in first grade, the program officially begins. On day one of first grade, we are taught that there is right and wrong, deserving and non-deserving, and passing and failing, all adding up to either worthy or not worthy. Year after year, with every test and evaluation, we must prove our worth, but not just worthy to move on to the next lesson, the next grade, or to graduation. We are asked to prove that we are worthy of approval, acknowledgement, appreciation, and yes, even love. If we do what we are told and we fit in with the group dynamic, we receive rewards and our emotional needs are met. However, if we think for ourselves and we do not fit in, no rewards come, leaving us feeling emotionally punished by disapproval, disappointment, and the withholding of love by those in authority. In other words, we are deemed unworthy. Society teaches us that worthiness is directly connected to our future and ongoing success in the world. Therefore, we must possess worthiness in order to have purpose, make money, and even attract a life partner. Just as being poor, having no partner or no direction in life directly relates to unworthiness. By the time we go out into the world on our own, we are deeply programmed to believe that others must find us worthy in order for us to succeed. In fact, we believe that our survival depends on the world agreeing that we are worthy. And of course, infinite conditions dictate worthiness depending on environment, culture, religion, and society. We might easily meet the conditions of one group while missing the conditions of another, thereby being worthy to some, but not to others. Maybe we even alter ourselves artificially in different situations and relationships, though, that our worthiness quotient increases. Of course, the cost of pretending to be someone that we are not in order to please others always involves some level of shame and even secrecy. If we always feel self-conscious about others' expectations, albeit partners, parents, or bosses, and we change our behavior accordingly in order to get approval and be deemed worthy, we must always be on guard. So even if we are authentic in some situations, we must be ready to alter or hide our real selves if the situations that suddenly change. If we run into a coworker while on vacation or while a parent drops by unexpectedly. In this way, we can never really let go and relax. We must stay in a constant state of underlying anxiety in order to be able to shift identities on the fly, just to be worthy in this moment. If we don't meet the real or imagined condition that others place on us, we could lose employment, be abandoned, or experience ridicule. In this way, being spontaneous or authentic in all areas of life could be the most dangerous thing one could do, well, in the eyes of worthiness, at least. Even if you succeed and find your worth in a career or in a relationship, for example, you'll always need that outside source to feel worthy. This places a tremendous amount of dependence on something, well, you cannot control. And so you live in fear, placing all sorts of stress on the other person or the external situation. The real problem lies in the impossibility of proving worth, because worth cannot be proven. Worth cannot be proven or disproven because it resides at the core of every being. There's nothing that you can do in order to be more or less worthy than you intrinsically are. If you spend the rest of your life sitting on a rock, you are no less worthy. Your worth is unconditional and guaranteed. This is what they failed to tell you in school. The mere act of attempting to prove worth keeps you in a space of experience unworthiness, because in the quest to prove your worth, you must first believe that you are unworthy. It's like chasing that carrot on the stick and never, ever getting it. In trying to prove your worth, you are really running from the fear of unworthiness, and this keeps you trapped in the worthiness program. Worthiness is the core issue for a long, long list of challenges in life. Feelings of unworthiness cause codependence, addiction, depression, illness, victimhood, abuse, lack of confidence, poor communication, power issues, obesity, indecision, confusion, panic attacks, abandonment issues, trust issues, eating disorders, relationship issues, and the list goes on and on and on. Virtually every issue imaginable is entangled with the issue of worth. Healing a worthiness issue can be the ultimate cure for so many of life's problems, including issues of health and even prosperity. Yes, that's right. There's a direct correlation between knowing your worth and your level of prosperity. People who do not know their worth often experience scarcity because they do not feel worthy of prosperity, while those who know their worth are able to attract unlimited abundance simply because they feel worthy of it. That's the secret. At the core of all abundance issues is worthiness. Worthiness is directly tied to self-love. We are told to love ourselves and that self-love is the answer to most of life's problems. And this may be true, but you cannot love yourself if you do not feel worthy of that love. You also cannot allow others to love you if you do not feel worthy. This is the number one cause of relationship issues. What if you could make a quantum jump and heal numerous issues with just one shift? This shift is turning off the worthiness program. But how do you do it? Well, subconscious programs are created when a series of strong beliefs are supported in reality through emotional experiences and perpetuated over time. If the program goes unquestioned, like most unconscious programs do, it grows stronger and stronger. If everyone around you is being run by the same program, it strengthens the morphic field of that program and even makes the program seem normal. If everybody's the same, it must be normal. If everybody's walking around feeling unworthy or trying to prove their worth, that must be normal. But it's not. The way to turn off a program is to claim your power over it. No matter how powerful something may seem, there's nothing, nothing that has power over you. You have the power to change anything in your life. You have access to the master control. In order to turn off the worthiness program, you must stop acting like your worth is conditional, and you must stop believing that you need to improve or change in any way in order to gain your worth. Looking to the outside world of people or things for your worth keeps you trapped in a vicious cycle with no way out. The outside world cannot give you worth. In fact, no one can give it to you, and no one can take it away. This means that you must stop making your worth dependent on anything or anyone. You must claim your worth once and for all and own it forever without conditions. Even though it appears that the worthiness program is external and it seems as if something is being done to you, this is far from the truth. The worthiness program is an internal program, and it is fueled by your inner critic. In order to turn off the program, you must rid yourself of negative self-talk and self-judgment. When you stop doing to yourself what the world does to you, the world will stop doing it to you. The outer world can only reflect your inner world. To get off the worthiness wheel of fortune, you must release your fear of failure and embrace the courage to be different, to be you, instead of judging yourself and waiting for the world to judge you. Above all, love yourself and value yourself, whether you are wrong or right, whether you fail or succeed, whether you fit in or you're completely eccentric. Yes, it takes courage to find yourself unconditionally worthy, but you are the only one who can do it. Who you really are is unconditionally worthy. So as soon as you question or try to prove your worth, you disconnect from yourself because your true self knows its worth. You cannot be connected and question your worth at the same time. Owning your worth is much simpler than it sounds because there is really nothing to do. In fact, it just requires that you stop chasing the elusive carrot on the stick by taking a permanent break from seeking worthiness. Claiming your worth is an undoing process. And yes, it doesn't happen overnight, but you can undo it, and the reward is great. First, notice all the ways in life that you might be trying to prove your worth. Just notice them. Without judging yourself, just be aware. Self-judgment is another way we disconnect from ourselves. So just skip the self-judgment and just observe. The next step is beginning to disentangle your identity and your life from issues of worth. You disentangle by taking your energy and attention away from it and releasing all the stories you tell yourself about worth. Giving energy to worthiness feeds and perpetuates the issue. This is the point. Remove your energy from worthiness, and worthiness loses power, and it dissolves. It dissolves. The bottom line is unworthiness is an illusion. Therefore, trying to prove worth is living a lie. We've been trying to heal feelings of unworthiness by being more of this and doing more of that, but you don't overcome the lie by trying to fix the lie. You overcome the lie, the illusion, by withdrawing your attention, by changing your focus. You resolve the issue of unworthiness by turning your back on it over and over again for as many times as it takes until it is gone forever. We are talking about emotionally detoxing from unworthiness and ending the cycle of not enough. We're talking about releasing yourself from an imaginary prison that has probably affected your whole life. The thing is, no one is keeping you in this prison, and only you have the keys to open the door. And you have the needed courage to step out. Knowing and owning your unconditional worth as a powerful and special being in this universe plugs you in, aligns you with a high vibration. When you are no longer pursuing paths or people in order to feel good about yourself, you become empowered and you become connected to who you really are. And then you are free to live your life as the real you intended to live. Not feeling worthy. not just blocks love from others and blocks self-love. It blocks the very experience of feeling loved by the Creator, by the universe. If you don't feel worthy, you block that love that has the power to heal you and every aspect of your life and every issue in your body. That love is all healing and all powerful. But you must know your worth in order to allow it to come in and truly heal you. When we feel unworthy, we're telling that field, that universe, that whatever we desire, well, we're not worthy of it. And if we don't think we're worthy of it, the universe reflects that back. Not that the universe or the field is saying that you're unworthy or I'm unworthy. It's just reflecting back your beliefs. The outside always represents the aspects and every aspect of you. To shift the outside, you have to heal the inside. The key is in mastering your mind and emotions. We've all heard of the law of attraction, and some of us have had a lot of success with that, and others have not been able to really understand how it works. Or maybe the success is random. Well, the reason that the law of attraction often does not work is because visualizing what we want is not enough. In order to attract and create what you desire through the law of attraction, you must feel that you're worthy of it. This means that your thoughts and your beliefs and your emotions must be aligned with not just what you desire, but with feeling worthy of what you desire. If there's one shift that you can make in your life that would completely change everything else, it would be to own your worth. It would be to find yourself unconditionally and intrinsically worthy. I'm reminded of my past self from almost 20 years ago. I had just moved from New York to Utah. I had two young kids. I had given up a business back in New York. I was married to, well, I wasn't very happy in my marriage. And on top of all that, being depressed, I had an accident and I hurt my back and I was in tremendous amount of pain. Well, every day I would look out my window and I would see these big, glorious mountains. And there was one mountain in particular and it was Mount Olympus. And I would look at the mountain and I would say, I want to climb that mountain. I want to climb Mount Olympus. Well, I could barely climb up the stairs to my apartment, never the mind to climb Mount Olympus. Well, I talk to my past self right now and I say, you can do it. You can get up. You can be strong. You can do it. I believe in you. My past self must have heard me because she did get up. She did climb that mountain. And she did end an unhealthy and unhappy relationship. And she did begin her life. Maybe there's a dark moment in your life, in the past. And if you could speak to your past self, what would you say to shift and to help him or her heal? Could your future self be speaking to you now? And if so, what would he or she say? And yes, we can change the past as much as we can change the future. Time moves in all directions. And when we shift and heal something now, we don't just heal it in this present moment, in the future, we also heal it in the past. And so, yes, you can speak to your past self and tell him or her exactly what they need to hear in order to heal, in order to find their worth, in order to experience whatever it is that they need to experience to create what they desire. And as that happens in the past, it ripples forward in the now. We have all the power. It's right here in our hearts. When we begin to awaken through the heart, we are suddenly tapped into an enormous power, an unstoppable power. When we talk about the heart being opened or closed, of course, we're not talking about the physical heart that is responsible for sending blood through our bodies. We're talking about the energetic heart. The energetic heart that without we would not have life as we know it. Most of us go through life with a closed heart or some degree of closedness. But when we begin to experience a heart awakening, that heart begins to open. Many of us have had experiences of falling in love. And in many ways, this is a heart awakening because the heart opens. But when we fall in love, very often we attribute that opening to the person whom we have fallen in love with. And then if that love goes away, that relationship ends, or we fall out of love, then suddenly our hearts close back down. And if that person leaves us, we most certainly close our hearts down. This is not the type of heart awakening that we're talking about now. The heart awakening that we're talking about now is not dependent on anyone or anything. The heart awakening that we're talking about now is about opening to life and opening to the love that is constantly flowing to you from the universe and from life itself. If you were to walk through the forest right now, every tree would be loving you. Every plant would sing your song. Every blade of grass would joyfully giggle as they tickle your feet. Everything in life loves you, even the things that, well, you thought were against you. Guess what? They're conspiring for you too. There's nothing in life that is not madly in love with you. But we can only sense these things to the degree that we are open and we love life in return. Many of us have experiences of opening our hearts, not just in falling in love, but in loving a child or a pet or a friend or a parent or a sibling. Loving someone feels so good because as we love, we open our hearts. And when we open our hearts, we become more connected to who we really are. Remember last week we talked about living above the line? Well, to add to that metaphor, when our hearts are closed, well, the more closed they are, the lower beneath that line we are. The more open our hearts are, the higher up beyond that line we are. In other words, the more we close our hearts, the lower our vibration. The more we open our hearts, the higher our vibration. The more we close our hearts, the more into fear we go. The more we open our hearts, the more into love we go. And no matter where we are, love is always there waiting for us. At any moment, we can turn towards love. Love heals all because in love, you're opening to the divine creator. In love, you're allowing the universe in all its glorious expression to flow through you. When you open to love, you align yourself upward. And in doing so, you are instantly in alignment with that which you desire in life. All the good that you desire is above that imaginary line. And the way to get there is by letting go of the fear and embracing the love. Very often when we think about something that we want in life, we do it through the eyes of fear. Instead of thinking about what we want, we're actually thinking about what we don't want. And when we're thinking about what we want And then we're thinking about what we don't want. We're doing that all through a closed heart. Then in order to align with what you desire, the key is to open your heart and to love that which you desire. And in loving that which you desire, suddenly you are aligned with what you desire. So why do we close our hearts? If it's so great to open our hearts, why then do we close our hearts? Good question. By the way, in a few moments, if anybody has a question, if you're on the teleconference line, just press star 5 if you have a question. And if you are listening in on the streaming audio, you can just type your question in. So, and we'll go as long as we need to for the questions, up to about a half an hour. So, okay. So why do we close our hearts? Well, we're going back to those disempowering beliefs. As soon as we believe that we can lose something or we've lost something, we close our hearts. As soon as we believe that we are victims or can be victims, we close our hearts. As soon as we feel powerless, we close our hearts. As soon as we question our worth, we close our hearts. You might be thinking, these things happen in life. We do have loss. We do experience victimhood. Sometimes we are powerless. Remember that life is always a reflection of your inner beliefs. And the purpose of life, again, is not to punish you or to bring you karma, but to show you what your beliefs are. So if it's happening in the physical world, that means that there is a reflection or an echo coming from your inner world, from your subconscious mind. So you ask, how do we know what's in our subconscious mind? Well, life is telling you. Everything that happens in your life is telling you what is going on in your subconscious mind. It's no secret. And when we pay attention to life and we use the symbols and metaphors in life much that we would when we're dreaming, we have the power to get enough feedback to change our subconscious programs and beliefs. So if something's happening in life that you're experiencing yourself as a victim, you look inside and you find that those disempowering beliefs about victimhood. And you call upon your higher self. Your higher self who knows that you are all powerful, that you are creator. And in fact, that life is reflecting back the victimhood because that's how powerful a creator you are. And you find that place. And your higher self speaks to your human self. And your higher self brings in the belief that not only are you not a victim, but you are a creator. The opposite of victim is not survivor, because survivor still holds the energy of victim. In order to be a survivor, you must still hold the vibration of being a victim. The opposite of victim is creator. And as you embrace yourself as creator, then the beliefs of victimhood dissolve and fade away. And then life can begin to express a whole new version of reality that better reflects your higher beliefs, your empowering beliefs. Again, using life as feedback is one of the greatest tools that we have to consciously create. So instead of blaming others and blaming life, we get to use our lives to empower us to know what our internal belief systems are, what programs are we running, what are our thoughts, what are our feelings. And if we don't like what life is giving us, we take that feedback and we turn it around. Not by changing life, but by changing our beliefs. And one of the ways that you change your beliefs is you notice the thoughts that all adds up to beliefs about unworthiness or beliefs about loss or beliefs about victimhood. And when those thoughts come up, you say no to them and you turn away from them and you replace them with empowering beliefs. I am unconditionally worthy. I am intrinsically powerful. I am a creator. Everything that I desire comes to me now. So why would we close our hearts? Closing our hearts when we get feedback that we don't like locks us into exactly what we don't want. If we have an experience that we're not worthy and we close down our hearts, we're actually creating more situations that show us what we believe. It's one thought at a time. You don't have to change all your thoughts. And you know when you're having a disempowering thought because it makes you feel bad. It feels bad in your body. It feels bad in your heart. And as soon as you have that bad feeling, it's a sign that you are thinking something that your higher self would not think. And what is that thought? And you get to say no to that thought. You get to refuse that thought. And you get to replace it with a thought that supports you, a thought that is empowering, a thought that makes you feel good. And if you can do that over and over, for as many times as it takes, you reach a threshold where you don't have to work at replacing negative thoughts with positive thoughts because you'll start thinking more and more positive thoughts on a regular basis. And then life becomes easy and effortless because life will also reflect all those beautiful positive thoughts. And that's the point. Many of us don't trust life. And that's why we close our hearts. But life is completely trustworthy because life will always reflect back to you what you believe. And from this perspective, if you can let go just enough in order to trust the messages that life gives you and to use those challenging experiences in your life as feedback to locate those disempowering negative beliefs inside you and begin to change them, you have the power of an all-powerful creator. One thought at a time. One belief at a time. And if I can do it, you can do it. I had so many negative beliefs, so many negative thoughts that were running my life for so many years from the time I was a young child. You don't have to believe your thoughts. Thoughts are not true until you believe them. And if a thought does not serve you, if a thought does not make you feel good, you get to shift it around. You get to empower yourself. You get to be powerful. No one can do it for you. Only you can do it for yourself. And as long as we wait for the outside world to heal us or make it better, we'll be waiting forever. Life doesn't operate like that. Now, that doesn't mean that someone can't help you on your journey. Doesn't mean that you, a friend or a mentor, can't provide that support for you. Absolutely. We are here to support each other in this journey. But truly, that birthing experience, it's you who must birth yourself. And I realize that when we have negative thoughts running our minds, it can be extremely difficult to change those thoughts, to create a new way of thinking. But there is absolutely nothing of greater value that you can do for yourself. How do you speak about yourself? Do you say, I am stupid, I am poor, I can't do it? How does that make you feel? It can't make you feel good. How do you speak about others? How do you think about others? When we think poorly or speak poorly of ourselves or others, it feels bad because our higher self would never think those thoughts. And as soon as you think a thought or believe a thought that your higher self does not believe, does not think, you have misaligned. And that pain that you feel is that misalignment. When you think thoughts and have beliefs that your higher self does believe, thoughts of unconditional worthiness, intrinsic power, love, all the most beautiful thoughts about yourself, about the world. Your higher self will think those thoughts with you. Your heart opens, your mind opens. And this is why it feels so good to think positively, because we connect with our higher selves. This is not about a foo-foo Pollyanna approach to life. This is about gaining control over your life and remembering that the thoughts that you think create your reality. The thoughts that you think are a reflection of your beliefs that speak directly to that quantum field, to the universe, to the creator. And why would you tell the creator that you're stupid or that you're poor or that things never work out? Why would you say that when you know that that's what gets reflected back? Again, not as a punishment, but to only show you what you're thinking and what you're believing, only to reveal your own subconscious mind to you. Every thought either closes your heart or opens your heart. And if you look inside and you are aware of your unstoppable and consistent inner guidance system that you can always depend on, then you will know if you're going towards love or away from love. You will know if you are rising above that line or sinking below that line. You will know if your vibration is high or your vibration is low. Your inner guidance system does not lie. It will always tell you what direction you are going in. What direction are you going in right now? And take a deep breath. We are here to create. But when we're asleep, it's almost impossible to create what we want. We're always creating. As we wake up and we take responsibility for our lives, every relationship, every experience, every situation, suddenly we have the power to create. Suddenly, we have all the tools that we need to invoke the law of attraction, to master our lives, to become the painter of our own canvas, the writer of our own story. You have that power now. You have always had that power. And the more responsible you become with your thoughts, the more you'll be able to access that power. Before, we are responsible with our thoughts. There's a gap between thought and thing, and thank goodness there's a gap, because if there wasn't a gap and you get upset about that guy that just cut you off and you wished he was dead and he drops dead, well, that's not what you really want. And so luckily there's a gap. The gap between thought and thing, because the universe knows that you don't really want to hurt yourself or anyone else. The universe is kind and will give you just enough feedback for you to get the message. And yes, when we don't accept the feedback, the messages get louder and louder and louder and louder. But there's plenty of warnings along the way. And if we use life as the gift that it is, and we take that feedback and we use those messages and we find the correlating thoughts and beliefs inside ourselves and we turn that around, we have discovered the magic wand of the universe. I can't think of any better news than this. And that magic wand is in your hands. And regardless of anything that has happened in your past, anything that is going on now, you and only you have that magic wand. Even if it feels like outside sources are controlling you, that is still just a reflection of you. Even when outside sources seem to hurt us or disempower us or challenge us, it is still simply a reflection of our subconscious. Those external sources, those external beings are only in your experience to show you what your thoughts and beliefs are. Just as that you are in the dream of others to show them, we are acting out each other's perfect dream. It's the perfect dream. It does not lie. And if you don't like what you're getting, you simply must turn within and make the shifts on the inside to receive a whole new story, a whole new experience on the outside. If you're in a safe place, I invite you to close your eyes. And if you're not in a place that you can close your eyes, you can do this meditation with your eyes open. And take a deep breath and allow the breath to relax you. Allow the breath to take you deep within your body. Allow the breath to be a symbol, a reminder that you can let go and relax. And I invite you to use your imagination. Whatever comes to mind as you listen to my words is absolutely perfect. Imagine that you are lying in a beautiful field. Yes, that beautiful field where the grass is tickled silly to have you with your love laying upon its soil, upon its blades. The trees are loving you, the flowers singing your song. And as you're laying in the grass, watch the clouds go by. One, two, three, four, five clouds, and swish, they're gone. And two more clouds, pink clouds this time, looking like angels, and they're gone. Four more clouds, looking like baseballs and bats, and they're gone. Suddenly there's a red balloon in the sky, and you watch that red balloon floating along, floating along. It looks like it's coming closer to you, that the wind is bringing it to you. And just when you think that it's close enough for you to grab its string, whoosh, it's gone. Laying there in the field, a flock of birds flies by overhead. You watch these birds, you count these birds, 5, 6, 10 birds, oh, a dozen birds. Oh, you're lost in counting these birds, and they're gone. A rainbow appears. How beautiful it is, all the beautiful colors, red and yellow and blue, this even purple and turquoise for some reason. Is that a leprechaun running along the rainbow? I think it is, with his pot of gold. Oh, he's bringing it to you. Oh, and he's gone. But his pot of gold has spilled out, and all these gold coins are now floating down in the sky towards you. Coming directly for you, his gold coins, infinite abundance coming right towards you. And they land all around you. So many gold coins. And you gather them up and you put them in your pockets. And these coins are abundance. Each one of these coins is infinite abundance. Whatever it is that you desire and need in abundance resides in these powerful, magical, beautiful coins, and they're all yours. As many as you want. Take as many as you want. Your pockets are so filled with these gold coins that you actually feel a heaviness as you walk down this beautiful path through the forest. But you're happy that this heaviness is the heaviness of wealth, the heaviness of abundance. And as you walk down this beautiful path through your beautiful forest that loves you, you realize that the heaviness that was once doubt is replaced with a heaviness of all those beautiful gold coins in your pockets weighing you down. What will you do with them? Anything, absolutely anything. You get to take them home with you. You get to use them to create whatever it is that you desire, because you are worthy. You are worthy of your dreams, and you are worthy of abundance, and you are worthy of love. You are worthy whatever you desire. The only one that has ever been judging your worth is you. And guess what? You can simply stop doing it. You can simply stop judging your own worth. It's completely up to you. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that? So take your gold coins, as many as you want. Take them back to your homes. Take them back to your hearts. And do whatever it is that you desire with them, because there is an infinite and unlimited supply. And your heart is awakening. And your mind is awakening. And you are awakening. How beautiful is that? We had some excellent questions submitted through the streaming audio. And if anybody is on the teleconference line and would like to ask a question, just press *5 and your little hand will go up and then I can call on you. Okay, so our first question. Besides stop judging ourselves and depending on others for our happiness, what exercises can we do for auto-love? I love this. I assume that auto-love is not love of one's car, but automatic love, right? Well, the thing about love is that it really is automatic. We are constantly being loved. It's interesting because, you know, many of us on the spiritual path have been, you know, told that we need to express self-love. And sometimes it's very difficult to have self-love, especially if we have worthiness issues. But there is always divine love coming abundantly and infinitely to us and for us and through us. And so really the key is opening to this love. And this might mean sitting in meditation each day, just imagining that the light is flowing to you and through you, affirming that you are loved. And at first you may think, oh, I'm not lovable, I'm not loved. But if you think the thoughts, I am loved by the Creator, I am lovable, the Creator, the universe, God, whatever it is that you call it, it loves me. If you do this every single day, you're actually going to create new connections in your brain where you will start receiving more and more love. And it's just a practice. So even if you have limiting thoughts and beliefs about not being lovable or not receiving love, if you sit every day and affirm that divine love is now flowing to you from the Creator, after a little while, you will actually start to feel it. Okay, our next question. If you believe you're not smart enough, how do you turn that thought around? Well, first of all, you stop saying, I'm not smart enough. Because as long as you say, I'm not smart enough, that's the result that you're going to get. So the turnaround would be, I am smart enough. And then you look for evidence that you are smart enough. So what in your life do you do well? Maybe you're having an experience, you're going to school or something where you're learning something and you're having trouble with that. So you're thinking, I'm not smart enough. Well, there are many things in your life that I'm sure you are experiencing yourself as smart enough. You focus on those things and you just keep noticing how smart you are and you affirm to yourself every day, I am smart. Look how smart I am. And you seek out proof. And above all, you stop saying, I'm not smart enough. Because as long as you say it, again, the universe will support that and bring you an experience of not being smart enough. Okay, next question. These questions are wonderful, by the way. And it's not too late to submit a question or to raise your hand for a question. If there's a person in particular that treats you poorly, but others are loving towards you, how do you sort through that feedback coming from that one person that is incongruent with the other's feedback? Okay, so I think what the question is, so everybody's giving you positive feedback and loving except one person. So what do you do about that? We've all experienced that. And there are many ways to approach that, to turn that around. You might first want to look inside yourself and see what part of yourself that is actually being reflected. So are they reflecting a part of you that you don't like about yourself? And it doesn't mean that you treat somebody else poorly. That's not what I mean. How is it complementary? How is it fit together, like yin and yang? So if somebody's treating you poorly, how might you be treating yourself poorly in that same way or a similar way? So that's one aspect. Another aspect is if you want to change somebody, to see there's a different version of everybody for everybody. So there's multiple versions of every single being on this planet for every single being on this planet. And if you don't like how somebody is treating you, often what we do is we keep focusing on that when really we have the power to change that around simply by focusing on positive things about that person. So a simple story that I can offer is about 3 years ago, my son Clay, I kept asking him to do chores day after day, and he just kept shushing me along. He wasn't doing it. By the third day, I became completely frustrated with him, and I didn't like how I felt. So I went in my room, I shut the door, I didn't say a word to him, and all I did was I thought about wonderful things about him. I thought about how funny he is, and how smart he is, and how clever he is, and I just thought all these wonderful things about that. It had nothing to do with what I wanted him to do or how he was acting or his behavior or anything. I just thought positive things about him. Within minutes, there was a knock on my door, and he said, "Mom, where's that list of chores that you wanted me to do?" So what happened? What happened was that I began to focus on a version of my son that was in alignment with what I desired. The best thing to do if you are experiencing something from someone else that doesn't feel good is to let go of the focus on the negative aspects and find all the things that you love about that person. You don't even have to say a word to that person. You simply must focus on the positive aspects of that person and continue to do that. And within a short period of time, it might not be minutes, but it could be days, you will experience a different version of that person. It works every single time. It's like magic. And let me know how it goes. Okay, wonderful question. So, final question. How do we rid ourselves of harmful or harming beliefs? How do we insert it into our subconscious? How do we insert into our subconscious more empowering ones? Okay, so I actually will share with you. Okay, here we go. So I'll share this with you now, but anybody who would like to receive how to shift disempowering beliefs, you can just email me and I'll send it to you. So the first thing to do is to flush out the negative beliefs. So if there's a situation that's happening now or a series of situations, you want to write down everything you believe about that situation, that person, yourself in regards to it. Just brainstorm all of your beliefs. Once you recognize what the underlying belief is, which is going to fall in one of four categories, powerlessness, loss, unworthiness, and victimhood. Those are the four disempowering beliefs. Once you recognize what that is, and you might have a bunch of beliefs, but they're all going to fall in one or maybe more categories, but definitely one category. Then make a list of all the actions and behaviors that you have that are a result of this disempowering belief. If it's more than one disempowering belief, like let's say it's victimhood and worthiness, you'll do this for both this process for both of those disempowering beliefs separately. So you pick one of those disempowering beliefs and you make that list. What are all the actions and behaviors that you are partaking as a result of that disempowering belief? Now decide how you would like to ideally be in the world. Who do you want to be? Make a conscious choice to surrender the disempowering belief. So if it's worthiness, make a conscious choice to let go of the beliefs around unworthiness or even around worthiness. Then what you do is you ask yourself, what new empowering beliefs do you need to adopt to support the person you desire to be in the world? And so you might just realize that the beliefs that you need have to do with worth in this case, or being a creator, or being powerful. And so you determine what beliefs will support your desired outcome, support who you want to be in the world. Now, from the list that you just made, pick the belief that you can easily accept. So in other words, you probably have made like a bunch of beliefs, maybe like I can do anything, I love myself, or I'm powerful. Find a belief that you feel that you can accept and keep massaging it until you feel like it resonates with you. Then you're going to write down what actions and behaviors are in alignment with this new belief. And at that point, you're going to utilize what I call active imagery, which means that you're going to see it, feel it, touch it, smell it, hear it, anything that works for you. You're going to imagine it as if it is already so. So let's say that it's about worth. You will imagine what it feels like to feel unconditionally worthy in different situations, in different experiences. You imagine yourself as someone who is worthy in those situations, in those relationships. So let's say you say, well, I just can't believe that. So you take the backdoor approach. You kind of trick the mind. And you say to yourself, well, what would I feel like if I felt worthy right now? What would I feel like if I felt worthy right now? And that tricks the mind into allowing you to feel that experience at this time. And you can do that with just about anything. Then finally, you must take consistent and powerful actions to reinforce the new belief, to go past your comfort zone. The more you experience and gain support of your new belief, the easier it will become. And sometimes it's acting as if you're worthy, acting as if you're the creator, acting as if you're powerful. And if you do that enough, it will begin to click in. You'll reach a threshold where it really is so. When you recognize a behavior that's coming from an old disempowering belief, just observe it, that third-party observer in your head, the witnesser, just observe it, and then show the part of you that is invested in that old disempowering belief, the lie in this belief. How is it a false belief? And then remind yourself of the new belief and realign with the new belief. So it's a process, but you can do it. Committing to mastering your mind, committing to overturning disempowering beliefs and aligning with powerful beliefs, there's nothing of greater value that you could ever do. All the work that we do in life, everything, all our degrees, everything that we try to accomplish, all of that, it's wonderful, but nothing is as valuable as mastering your mind. And mastering your mind means mastering your beliefs. And you can do it. And you can do it. So for this following couple of weeks until we meet, in 2 weeks, in the second Tuesday, my invitation to you is to be aware of the thoughts that you're believing and to question them. Question your thoughts, question your beliefs, even if you don't do anything else. Just question it. How do I know it's true? How do I know that's true? How do I know that's true? How do I know that that is true? The act of questioning disempowering beliefs acts as a knife and little by little cuts through them until finally You are free. And don't give up. It is a process. But there's a point where you will reach a threshold and you will be free. You will turn off the disempowering programs, the thoughts that once plagued you with negativity will be done and gone. And you will be free to think powerful, loving, kind thoughts of yourself and the world. And guess what? The world will reflect that back because it can be no other way. Now, if you don't have an instant manifestation, do not fail to think that you've done it wrong. Because it does take a little while for the outside world to catch up with the inside world, because we're always experiencing the past. So even if you're thinking good, positive thoughts and you're still getting, you know, old negative situations, just know that you're experiencing the past. Do not react, because if you react, then you're in alignment with what you don't want and will create more negative situations. Just give it a little moment. Give it a breath. And before you know it, the outside world will begin to reflect your new positive beliefs and thoughts. It is inevitable. And so, my homework for you, in addition to being aware of your thoughts and beliefs and beginning the process of shifting them and changing them, is to talk loving to yourself, to talk kind to yourself, even if you don't believe it. Just keep doing it. Just keep doing it and see what happens. You might even want to look in the mirror, look in your own eyes and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. At first, it might seem really silly, but if you keep doing it long enough, you'll feel it. You'll know it. It will be you telling you. It will be you loving you. It will be you being love. Do not give up on love. Love never gives up on you. It's time to open your hearts, open your minds, and awaken to who you really are. It's time. It is time. It is time. It is time. Thank you so much for sharing this time with me. I love you all, and I will see you in 2 weeks. Bye for now.